How many of us have kind of been in that position where we've got caught doing something, right, with a hand in the cookie jar, right? But some of you are probably like, I'm pretty good. I've always been a pretty good kid, right? And yet I bet if we're honest, I bet all of us, in fact, I know all of us have done some things that not only maybe our parents are not proud of, but things that we know deep down God is not proud of. Like, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of us have ever lied or ever cheated or ever stolen, right? How many of us have ever talked behind another person's back, right, or gossiped about another person, right? How many of us have ever taken God's name in vain where we're just talking to our friends and we're like, oh, my God, right? How many of us have ever done some things with our boyfriends and girlfriends that we know we shouldn't be doing? Or how many of us have seen some things in the computer that deep down we know we shouldn't be looking at, right? All of us have issues in sin. And see, we're like, that's not too big a deal. But that makes us guilty, right? We might feel like that dog did in the video. But the Bible actually says there's two kinds of guilt, right? There's a worldly guilt and a godly guilt. And this is the difference. This is what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 7:10, godly guilt brings repentance, which leads to life and salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow and guilt brings death. So this is what it's like if you're in math class and you're taking a test and somebody in the other aisle is looking over and trying to get the answer and cheating on your test, and the teacher looks out and catches that person, and the person's like, and they're really, really upset, not because they cheated, but because they got caught. That's worldly guilt, that you care more about yourself and your ego, whereas godly guilt and sorrow is more when you're upset, not just because you got caught, but because you actually cheated, and you know that it's against what God would have for you. You guys saw in some of those clips that I'm a golfer, right? I really enjoy golf, so I was on the high school golf team, and I was practicing, and it was just me and my coach, and the other golfers were ahead of us, so we were playing. It's a practice round. We're not really keeping score. So I hit a golf ball, and I'm not exactly sure where it went. It might have went in the water, so I'm just looking around for my ball. I can't find it. My coach is over there looking for his ball, so I just said, what the heck, it's practice. So I picked out a ball from my bag and just put it down and hit it and just played like the rest of the hole as if that was my ball. And so the coach walks up to me in the next hole. And by the way, you have to know this about me. You know, I'm not proud of this by any means, but I was like Mr. Goody Two Shoes growing up, right? Kind of like teacher's pet, never did anything wrong. So here I am in the next hole, ninth grade. The coach walks up to me. He's like, Brady, if I would have known any better, I would have thought that you just put this ball down and were cheating. And like, I was so embarrassed because I got caught, and I was upset that I got caught, but deep down I knew that I cheated. And all of us have some things that we know that God is not proud of. And the Bible actually calls that sin. And what's really scary is that the Bible says that all of our sin, whether it's little itty bitty sin or great big sins, it all separates us from God, and it all ultimately leads to death. So that's all of us in this room, one way or another, have done wrong. And some of you are like, well, what's the big deal? If I were to take this water, and let's say I hadn't drank out of it, and I poured it in the water fountain, and you were really thirsty, would you drink that if I gave it to you, if you're thirsty? Yeah, no big deal. But then what if I took this water, and I spit in it, and I swirled it all around, and I said, would you want to drink this? Huh? Come on. This guy, you want to drink this, right? That's disgusting. But then I'm like, well, it's like 95% pure. I can't even see my spit in it anymore. Right? It's not too bad, right? No, that's disgusting. That's what it's like to God. Our sin, because God is so perfect and pure, any little bitty sin or any big sin, it all is disgusting to God. And that's a problem. And yet God loved you and me so much that he said, I'm not willing for the people that I love to go to destruction. So he sent his son Jesus, who was the only person to ever live a perfectly pure life. And that Jesus was willing to get on that cross because my sin and my mess put him there, and die and raise to life, that whosoever would confess their sins and trust in Jesus, that Jesus would forgive us and promises that we can be with him forever. Isn't that awesome? That's incredible. But the key is we have to actually put our trust in him. In fact, this is what the Bible says, and I think you'll see it on the screen. From 1 John 1, starting in verse 7. It says this, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So that's a really, really cool promise. That when we mess up, God says, look, I see your mess, and I love you, and I forgive you. But that's only the first step, because sometimes we do that, and then we're still feeling like a little bit guilty, right? We know we've done something wrong, so we ask God to forgive us, but we're still kind of carrying around some guilt. What do you do then? Well, this is what God says. In fact, you can see it here in James chapter 5. And this will sound a little awkward, but just follow me for a minute. Is anyone among you troubled? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. And then this is the key verse, verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Now, if you're like me, you're like, Brady, I've got my own mess and my own issues, and I'm not going to share that with anybody. It might feel a little bit like this. Watch this video and see if this feels a little awkward.
The simplest way to put it, I have problems. I worry about diseases, so I have trouble touching things. In public places, it's almost impossible. I have a real big problem moving.
Talk about moving.
As long as I'm in my apartment, I'm okay. But when I want to go out, I get weird.
Talk about weird.
Well, I get dizzy spells, nausea, cold sweats, hot sweats, fever blisters, difficulty breathing, difficulty swallowing, blurred vision, involuntary trembling, dead hands, numb lips, fingernail sensitivity, pelvic discomfort.
So the real question is, what is the crisis, Bob? What is it that you are truly afraid of?
What if my heart stops beating? What if I'm looking for a bathroom, I can't find it, and my bladder explodes?
Right, pelvic discomfort, sensitivity in your fingernails, like these are big problems, right? Now, it doesn't have to be that awkward. Here's the really cool thing whenever we share some stuff that we're struggling with. One is, look, we're all in this together. If we're honest, we're all just kind of a little bit of a big mess. And so sharing with one another actually helps us be authentic and real, and it helps us kind of take off the mask. Because we are really good at faking it, aren't we? Like, we'll post something on Facebook. It's like, I'm good. Look at me. right? Post something on Twitter or Instagram, and it's like we've got our stuff all together. But in reality, a lot of us are carrying around a lot of issues and stuff that we're dealing with. And the scary part is that we can be good at faking it with one another, so then we think we can actually fake it with God. But the problem is God sees right through us, and he sees those dirty little things we wish nobody else could see, and God sees. But he also forgives us, and he says, look, share this with one another. The other thing this helps us do is it actually helps us make spiritual progress when we share some of our struggles. Now, I don't know how many of you have like a favorite athlete. Like, I really love Sidney Crosby, Andrew McCutcheon. Think about the best athletes in the world. Almost all of them have trainers and coaches. Not because they're weak, but sometimes you need kicked in the butt, right? Sometimes you need encouraged. Sometimes you need someone to say, look, don't be eating all that junk food. You got to get into the gym. So having somebody like teammates around you saying, look, you can do it. I'm praying for you. I want to encourage you. That's really, really uplifting. Now, what if you're the person who somebody else is coming to? Like someone else wants to share some of their struggles. And what if you're like this? What if, like Brandon, this morning, he had a really rough day with his wife, and he flips off his wife, right? He just gives her the finger, and she's like really, really devastated. And it's a big deal in the house. And so Brandon comes to me. He's like, dude, I really, really messed up. I got so fed up, I flipped off my wife. And when he tells me that, I just look at him and I'm like, are you kidding me? You are such an idiot. You are so stupid. How could you? Now, is that the way that you would want to be treated? That's not the way I want to be treated. We got to treat someone the way that we want to be treated and the way that Jesus treated us. And when I think about the fact that as bad as I've been, some of the things I've said and done and thought, and God still forgives me anyway, how can I not forgive someone else? How can I not be the kind of person who's trusting and loving? So I just want to encourage you guys to think about your connection groups, think about your community groups, think about friends you have here or at school or somebody that you trust. We're all in this together. So I hope and pray that we can just take off our masks and be real and be authentic. And I know the times that I have shared some of the things that I'm not ashamed of, like with my wife, I think that, man, if I share this, this is going to be so, so bad. But it's those times that I open up and say, look, I'm struggling. I need you to pray for me. That's been the most freedom that I've felt. So I want to pray for you, and I just want to ask if you guys would just kind of close your eyes with me as we ask God to kind of reveal some of this, these issues and junk that we're dealing with. Let's pray. Father God, for some of us, maybe we've never actually confessed our sin to you, and we've never actually seen ourselves as someone who's actually a mess and really needs you. So Father, if there's anyone in this room today that you're speaking to, I just pray that we'd confess our sin and receive you as our Lord and our Savior. And Father God, for the rest of us, would you just right now in this moment of silence reveal to us some of the stuff, some of the trash, some of the sins in our life right now that we've been hiding? And Father, for those things, I pray that you would forgive us. And I pray, God, that you might help us to be vulnerable and share some of these things with others, not so we can be scared, Lord, but so that we can be free and forgiven. Help us to be the kind of people and treat people the way that you have treated us. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.